Could you take these and give these ladies? Pass these out. This contains, for those who have it, if there's not enough, you can share, two people can look on. The most important thing is to have, which should be coming, the Ayurvedic dosha test. That's what we're going to go over today. And something about Srila Prabhupada's letters. Basically, the main subject that we're going to deal with is something about Ayurveda. Ayurveda. Who doesn't have one? Okay. So could someone count the number of devotees who don't? Can you count the number? Raise your hands high and someone you can count. Okay. Okay, 15. We made up another 20, we'd be safe. There's 5 days for this course, and Ayurveda generally takes around 7 years to learn. Therefore, we don't expect anyone, including myself, to know the entire subject of Ayurveda in 5 days. But hopefully we'll know a little something about how Ayurveda relates to our basic Krishna conscious philosophy. How many did you make up, dear Krishna? Good. All right. So everyone who doesn't have one, you can raise your hand and dear Krishna Guru will give you one. And keep your hands raised, even though I'm talking. Don't forget to give me the original one. Okay, good. Ayurveda, sometimes they give a history to it, and it's in at least the Ayurvedic textbooks. The major textbooks, one of them is called Charak Samhita, and another one is called the Shushruta Samhita, and later on there is a textbook called Ridaya something, Astanga Ridaya by Vagbada. But Ayurveda, of course, as any other Vedic literature, is eternal because it deals with principles. It doesn't deal with anyone's concept of what is health or what is ill health. It deals with the reality of what is health and ill health. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you gyanam teham savigyanam idam vaksham yasheshataha, that he's going to explain everything in the seventh chapter, and if you have that knowledge, then you know everything. And in Prabhupada's books, if you read his books, then you'll get all the basic principles that you'll find in Ayurveda. There, Ayurveda basically means, Ayurveda means life, and Veda means the science of life. So it deals with the laws of material nature, specifically in terms of how to stay healthy and what to do if you're not healthy. It also deals with other problems, old age. It also deals with childbirth, child care, other such topics. But I think within our 5 days, we can get some idea of what Prabhupada meant by, for instance, when he said that if you're an ant, that you should eat like an ant. And if you're an elephant, then you should eat like an elephant. But if you're an ant, and then you try to eat like an elephant, then you'll have a lot of problems. Similarly, according to Prabhupada's understanding, which is also the Ayurvedic understanding, I'll keep the light on. If we can turn on the other light, it would be good too. The main causes of ill health are anxiety, overeating, and uncleanliness. If you don't know what I mean by an anxiety, then you have nothing to worry about. And if you don't overeat, you probably won't be interested in Ayurveda, because you won't have any problems. And if you're perfectly clean in every aspect, then also you won't have any problems. But most of us, we're not so expert in these particular fields, these particular qualities. Therefore, sometimes we do have problems, especially anxiety or overeating. These are very big problems, especially for the devotees, especially overeating, I guess. I guess a lot of our anxiety is about overeating. But Ayurveda, for instance, today we'll go through this test. Hopefully everyone can fill it out. And we can find out what's called the doshas are. The doshas are simply telling us something about what our possibilities of digestion are, in one sense. In one sense, they tell us what is the environment of this body, and by knowing what the environment is, we get some idea of how our psychophysical nature is working, specifically, especially in terms of what we can digest. Digestion goes on at two levels. One level is the physical digestion of eating food, and the other is the digestion of thoughts. Now, of course, if there's indigestion either way, then one has problems. If one has indigestion physically, that is the basic principle of leading to disease. And if he has indigestion intellectually or emotionally, then he has psychological disturbances or indigestion on the subtle platform. Therefore, this gives us some idea, but also we can develop faith that if one is Krishna conscious, the root cause of all problems in the material world are two. Ayurveda is attractive because it also confirms all these things. The two problems that everyone has is that they want to control the material nature in order to enjoy it. Those are the two causes of all different problems in the material world, including our psychological and our physical ones. The problems are not that our mother didn't love us when we were younger, or we met a stranger who gave us candy and we got sick on the street, and now we don't trust strangers. The real problems are, the basic root causes are that we want to control the material nature, icchā dvēśa samudena. We're hankering to enjoy the material nature, and we're very frustrated over the fact that we can't enjoy it. Or we want to be God, and we hate that someone else is God. These are our problems. And because of that, we sometimes overeat. For instance, if you can't lord it over anyone else, at least the cauliflower on your plate seems a little submissive. If you can't enjoy anything else in the material world, you know, a gulab jamun at least will provide the satisfaction for you. Or two or ten or whatever else you need. Therefore, generally because we're dissatisfied on one level, we overreact or we become unregulated on another level, and that creates an imbalance or problems, especially of indigestion. I guess we need some more seats here. Here's a seat. Let me take this chair. There's some more seats there. There's those seats here also. Therefore, hopefully in 5 days, we can get some better idea of what Prabhupada talked about of not overeating, not being anxiety, and being clean. Those three things. Also, when Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita about becoming healthy and becoming free from the problems of material existence, the pain of material existence, he talks about two things. One is about being regulated in our basic activities of eating and sleeping, work and recreation. And the other is coming to the transcendental platform, which is the actual solution to all our problems. According to Charak Samhita is the standard book of knowledge of Ayurveda, no one can be completely healthy unless he's spiritually realized. And according to the Bhagavad Gita, that when one gains the spiritual platform and he becomes completely absorbed in transcendental happiness, seeing Krishna, and enjoying Krishna consciousness with transcendental senses, he thinks that this is the greatest gain. And he never departs from the truth. And then, even in the greatest difficulties, yam lava chapalam lavam manyate nadikam tata, yasmin sito nadukena guru napi vichalyate. Even in the greatest difficulties, he remains undisturbed. In other words, if one comes to the transcendental platform, then all his material problems are don't bother him anymore, at least. It's not that the material body... sometimes I've been reading these Ayurvedic books, especially the modern ones that they try and sell. And sometimes they say that by my plan, I have a plan by which you can live forever. That they have the secret of rejuvenation, and if you follow his process, then even death can be conquered. And the same person who wrote this, he gets sometimes $40,000 for a lecture. I heard that when he went to England, he couldn't give his lecture because he was sick. He's going to live forever, but he still can't stop being sick. He can't even conquer over jet lag, what to speak of living, you know, conquering over death. And every moment, each one of us are going a little closer to our another change of body, and finally the last change of body. Ayurveda definitely can't stop old age, disease, and death. Perhaps in previous ages, people could live for 100,000 years, or perhaps in other planets, they can live for much longer, but everyone dies. And on this planet, even if you make your full-time occupation to live forever, you're not going to live forever anyhow. And as devotees, we're not really interested in living forever in this body. We want to come to the transcendental platform. And in order to do that, at least we don't want to become so disturbed over the present body that we have that in our future time when we become older, that becomes our constant source of meditation. Many devotees, they join our movement and they think that, because they're young, that they're not their body. But they think that they're not their body, which means that they don't have to worry about their body at all. After all, they're a spiritual soul. What does the body have to do with spiritual life? And you can eat anything, it's because it's prasadam. And after all, Prabhupada said, when you first come to the movement, you should eat so much prasadam that you waddle like a duck. And you probably quack like one also. And after all, you know, 10 years, that's nothing in the movement. 20 years or so. But then after being on the spontaneous transcendental platform like that for 20 years or 15 years or 10 years, suddenly the body doesn't seem so transcendental anymore. Although you were transcendental, somehow or another the body didn't realize it. And then you wake up one day and you realize I have a material body. And it's not a very pleasant material body because it doesn't function the way it's supposed to. And then one devotes the next 15 years to trying to bring his body back to some kind of normalcy. But what we'd like to do is utilize the body in such a way is that we don't either become overly absorbed in it, nor do we become so detached from it, supposedly, or so negligent of it, that we create problems, future problems. Because, especially the nature of old age, is that the body breaks down. Although when we're 20 years old, it seems like we're going to be young forever, and it's going to be able to digest anything in any number of any quantity. And maybe it may affect you for half a day or something. But when you get older and you get arthritis, and every time it rains, everyone can hear you walking down the block, then, you know, it may be too late. In other words, moderation, that's the basic thing. We don't want to become completely absorbed in the body so that throughout 24 hours a day we can't help but think of our body. And we don't want to, the Ayurveda class is not so that when you go to Prasadam, you take your chemistry set to analyze what's being served. And you're weighing everything, except, you know, exactly how much I'm supposed to eat. And everything's analyzed and weighed, and you're looking at the cook, wow, sugar, look at this. There's sugar in here. Be warned, everyone. Ghee, no. This is sinful. Urine Maya. Oh, he's eating it. I can't believe it. You're going to die a horrible death. Look, here's the picture. Oh, God. So we don't want to become fanatic so that, you know, every mile, oh, I'm killing myself. I'm killing myself. This is death. Poison. And we don't want to become negligent that, you know, this is all Maya, worrying about your body. You know, these people are on the Bali platform of life. You know, I saw someone who was actually doing some exercises, you know, completely absorbed in his body. Next he'll put a picture of himself on the wall and do RT to it. Body worshippers. So these people, generally, such persons, as soon as they get sick, then immediately, you know, they're to the doctor, doctor, save me, you know. Or some, I had the experience, one elder devotee was telling me that, you know, why are you into this, live forever? And the next year, I saw him, he had this catalog, and he had this mountain of pills and all kinds of, and the name of it was something like, live forever. Longevity, that was the name. So sometimes the devotees, they seem to be adverse to this idea of taking care of the body, but sometimes that aversion is just another symptom of their attachment to the idea. But not that we want to do that either, but just like, of course, the example is not so good in our society sometimes, but just like if you had a car, if it was your car, not the society's car, if it was your car, then you'd certainly take care of it. If you decided that you'd only put in the best oil and the best gasoline, no one would say you were Maya. Isn't that right? Because it's for your car. You got to take care of your car. And even if you clean your car regularly, no one would say that this is Maya. Or if there was something wrong with your car, you took it into the shop, no one would say it was Maya. As a matter of fact, you could be criticized if you didn't take care of your car. And if it was your car, certainly you'd have some concern. But as far as this body goes, if we don't see the body in the same way as being a vehicle for Krishna, it's not even our vehicle, it's Krishna's vehicle, and therefore we should put the right fuel into it. No one would want to put milk into a car because the proper food for the car is gasoline. Similarly, there's proper food for the body, and it's not oil. Of course, you can cook with a little oil, but sometimes the devotees, they think they can put oil into as much oil as they want into the body, and it's going to function. It will function until it crashes. I'm not against oil either, but the point is that there's a food for the car and there's food for the body, and we have to learn what is food for the body and how much you can put in, and how to maintain the body a little bit, and what the symptoms are of when the body's not working. Just like an expert mechanic, if he hears a certain sound, then he knows something's going wrong. Just like in our body, if you suddenly hear in your stomach rumble, then the first reaction, oh no, what does this mean? I'm not going to be able to eat prasadam today? No, it couldn't mean that. It must mean my stomach must be chanting Hare Krishna. It's become so transcendental in association with prasadam. Don't listen to it. So we have to understand there are certain symptoms that may appear, and we should know what they mean. We should be able to interpret them in some kind of sane way, and then do what's necessary. Most of it is quite simple if we're willing to do it. Like, for instance, if your stomach goes, you might consider to fast for half a day. Know, at least to try to learn the bodily symptoms and language. Similarly, if suddenly on your body there's this big thing that pops out and you're walking around all day long, you know, then you might have to consider it not taking, you know, the Mangalarti sweets for a little while. So these are, the body works in such a way is that it tries to communicate with us. If we don't hear the inner voice of the super soul or a common sense, then the body manifests certain types of communication. And if we learn what they are, then we can react accordingly and cause ourselves or save ourselves a lot of different problems or future problems. Because the tendency is that things get worse and worse as you neglect them. Modern society, with the Ayurvedic, allopathic medicine especially, which aims at repressing symptoms. Allopathic medicine deals a lot with what's known as antibiotics, which means they have a theory that we're not really so much responsible for our illness. There was some vicious germ which was waiting around the corner, and when you walked around the corner during Harinam or Sankirtan, it leaped out and grabbed you. Or someone sneezed on, some demon sneezed on you. This germ entered into you and just started to beat you up. And the way you get rid of it is you take antibiotics and you just wipe the guy out. And then there's no problem. Or that they try, you have some pain, it hurts, so what do? You just go to the doctor and he gives you some painkiller so it doesn't hurt anymore. And whatever was causing it to hurt, you just figure, you know, you just go on with your normal lifestyle. You eat the same things, you drink the same things, you have the same schedule or lack of schedule, you do the same things you do. You don't worry about it because the pain's gone. And then when the pain appears someplace else, then you go back to the doctor and plead, doctor, this hurts here, and he gives you another pill. And then the pain goes away and then appears someplace else. And then one day you go to the doctor and he says, well, you got 3 days left. I'll give you a pill and it won't hurt. Thanks, doc. That's really what I want. It's not going to hurt. I had one aunt who's a historical. She had a bladder infection. And so she went to the doctor, and the doctor gave her some medicine. But the medicine caused reactions, and so she had to go back to the doctor, and he gave more medicines for the reactions. And by the time she was done, completely finished, she was in the intensive care, and 5 doctors a day were coming and prescribing medicines up until the time she left. And finally my uncle got the bill, and the bill was $1,200,000. So he was quite proud that she had gotten the best treatment. Luckily, Medicare or insurance paid for most of it. In other words, if the disease doesn't kill you, the medicine surely will. Therefore, we should learn a little bit in this course what medicine really is. According to Ayurveda, for instance, medicine, food is that which you can digest. And medicine is that which helps you digest. And poison is that which you can't digest. Even nectar, if you can't digest it, it's poison. And even poison, if you can digest it, it's just like nectar. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj, he ate some poison offered to him by his mother, by his father, Hiranyakashipu. But because he offered it to Krishna and he took it as prasadam, therefore it was just like nectar. On the other hand, even if you take prasadam, but if we take prasadam when we eat too much or at the wrong times, then we'll find out it's just like poison. And on the other hand, simple things which help us digest, they're considered to be medicine. It's not necessary to go to the doctor. But even fasting or taking some simple spices can help digestion. And that's medicine. Without any further, so everyone has one of these Ayurvedic tests? So if you don't have one, we can... So I'd like you to fill this out. It's in English, so there's always some few words here that may not make any sense to someone. Yeah, yeah. Can you pass these out? And how many were pure? Or the majority, or the greatest number you came up with was Pitta, raised in hand. Mother Natalia, what was yours? How much did you give for Pitta? Could you understand can you understand?
She didn't have yet.
Oh, you're probably Pitta. No, do you know how I know?
Red hair.
What's that? Red hair, yeah.
It's painful.
What's that? No, there has to be, if you have red hair, anyone else have red hair here? Yeah. If you have red hair, you have to have some Pitta within you, otherwise you wouldn't have red hair. What score did you? Yeah. And how many were mostly kapha? And how many were vata? Vata, kapha vata or vata kapha? And how many were vata pitta? And pitta kapha? And all equal? Anyhow, it's good enough. So, now we can get something, especially when you have one dosha. Dosha, of course, means kalo dosha nidei rajan. It means a tendency to go off. So everyone has vata, pitta, and kapha to some proportion within their body. Pitta, vata represents the quality of activity or motion. Pitta represents the activity of transformation. And kapha represents the activity or stability. Therefore, all the movements of the body will be, or of the mind, will be conducted by vata. All the activities of transformation, whether it's thoughts or digestion of food or other types of transformations, are conducted by pitta. And all the structures of the body are under the kapha's jurisdiction. Kapha or vata, pitta, their energies in the body. There may be different ways of looking at it. We can go over that. But basically, they represent different types of energies in the body. And there are different qualities that these energies have. And if we know what the qualities are, then we have some idea how to balance them. There are 24 qualities, but here we're just going to go over six of them. Six major qualities. For instance, vata and pitta, these six qualities we're going to go over is heavy or light, moist and dry, cold and hot. So vata and pitta, both of them, between heavy and light, Vata and Pitta are both life. And Kapha, that means Kapha is heavy. Kapha is heavy. Both. So therefore, knowing this, if someone's a who has a kapha, major kapha, who else? So that means that they'll have a tendency to put on weight easily. Is that true? You don't put on weight easily? What's that? When you do put on, if you do put on weight, do you find it hard to lose? Has your weight stayed more or less the same? Is your weight?
Well, I'm fasting all the time, so.
Oh, okay.
But I only have like six points more for kapha, and for rest is both 84 pounds, so maybe it's not.
No, it's not pure kapha. What about you?
It's also very close.
Oh, okay. Anyone else has pure kapha? Anyone have very high in kapha and high in something else also? Okay. So we don't have kapha and vata. They share. They're both cold. And that means that pitta is hot. Who here is pure pitta? Okay. So hot means that. Hot in all respects, tendency towards getting angry a little bit sometimes due to frustration, and generally feeling more comfortable in cooler weather rather than really hot weather. Who has the highest, who got a very high pitta? So, do you like hot weather when it's really hot and the sun's right on your head? What about you? Do you like hot chilies?
Yes.
You like hot chilies? Makes you feel even more fire. Do you like hot chilies?
Yes.
What's that?
I like hot chilies, yes.
Did you have mostly pitta?
Yes, 76.
As opposed to what?
46.
Oh yeah. So why do you like hot chilies? Helps the digestion.
In the Vedic cookbook, everywhere they two chilies.
Do you like hot weather?
No, I don't like hot weather.
This
is terrible for me.
Do you like when it's humid? Hot and humid?
No, not
costume. Anyhow, you might find out that you may want to cut down your chilies too by the end of this. Even if the cookbook says it. Because generally pitta means that there's enough. Do you have a good fire digestion? Do you digest?
Very good,
everything's fine. Yeah. And do you ever get pains in your stomach? Like?
No. Only when I eat raw salads. But I know that raw salad is nothing for me.
But
I have a tendency to have the father, hate me on father. And now it's finished. And now it's Krishna consciousness. Changed.
Good.
And not agitated and not emotional. But now I'm more pitta.
Good. All right. So pitta generally means that there is heat in the body. There's already heat because pitta is that heat for transformation. So generally, if there's more heat coming from the sun, from outside, then one will be not so much inclined to receive that heat. One will be more satisfied when it's cooler. Similarly, with the food that you eat, if you already have a good fire digestion, and you add something like chilies, which increases the heat in the body, then the result will, you'll feel like it's too hot in there, like a little furnace. So, and the kapha and pitta, they both share that they're both moist. And therefore, the main quality of vata will be that it's dry. Anyone who here is mainly Vata? So Vata means that dry means your skin will be dry. Is that true? You get some testimony. Who here who has high Vata, whose high Vata has dry skin? Raise your hand. And certain tendency towards constipation. So, and everything that's produced by dryness, Vata people. Of course, the dryness also comes from irregular and a lot of activity. In other words, a Vata person is the person, as soon as the gun, then they're running and going all over the place, and then until finally they drop, you know, for exhaustion. And then as soon as they wake up, the gun goes crash. They're just running all over the place until. So generally, you'll find a Vata person because they're always moving. Therefore, this dryness is there, just like the wind, because it moves, but it dries things by its movement. And a Pitta is always hot, always wants to digest something. The person is always reading books or eating something or trying to figure something out, always trying to digest something. And if prasadam's not on time, then immediately they look at their neighbor. Look at someone else. And the Kapha people, generally the persons who, you know, they're heavy, guru. So nothing disturbs them. They're the mellow people who kind of like, life goes on and everything's cool. But sometimes they'll be hard to wake up in the morning sometimes. Is that true?
Yes.
Because it's heavy. And Vata people, if they're not completely exhausted, it's hard for them to get to sleep. In the dreams, they're running around doing stuff. So we'll just erase this. Now, one of the basic principles of Ayurveda is that, this is a sutra, that like increases like, and opposites they balance. That's what we want, is balance. That if you add cold and hot together, you get some balance. So Vata, which is also cold, cool or cold, that because of their thin, generally they have a thin physique, their bodies are thin, and therefore they don't like the cold. Now, if you could tell the person who has the most Vata in the temple, because they're usually the ones next to the heater, especially in the winter. After they've run around, then they usually sit down by the heater and fall asleep. Therefore, what they usually need is the opposite. They need some heat. When it comes time for summer, they become very happy when the sun comes up, because then the heater is right there outside. Therefore, they like to run around outside during the summer in the heat. On the other hand, pittas, they need something cool. So they want to take, generally they like to take cool drinks or, you know, cool down their system by eating a lot of sweets or something. Something that's cooling, that's pitta. And And kapha, they need something to push them. If they're not being pushed, then they kind of like, they just stay there. They don't go anywhere. They need some motivation, some excitement. With these ideas in mind, the opposites balance. Kapha being heavy, they need some push. Pitta being hot, they need something cool. And vata being dry, they need something warm and something which is regular, some regularity in their lives. So, yeah. Or something moist. Generally, they want to put some cream on their body all the time or something, keep the skin moist. Now, there are different things that are, once we know our constitution, we may get some idea about what our imbalance are. Our constitution is called a prakriti. This is what we're born with, prakriti. This is what we're born with at the time of our birth. There's different factors that cause it. The main factors are the consciousness and the psychophysical nature of our parents at the time of conception. There are many other minor things, such as what our mother ate and her experiences during the time of our gestation, the womb, and certain other subtle things. But the main thing is their consciousness and psychophysical nature at the time of our conception. And then there's the vrikriti. That means the imbalance that we've acquired since our birth. The best balance of the doshas is a prakriti. That was the dosha balance that we had at the time of our birth. Now, these things are helpful because knowing what our either vrikriti is or prakriti, then we can get some idea what food to eat or what not to eat, what habits we should have to help balance our nature. Because, especially with food, we know that if we don't eat the right amount of food or if we eat the wrong food, then we tend to get indigestion. And indigestion blocks the channels in the body and causes all kinds of discomfort, and later on doesn't block some nutrition of the body, and therefore the body doesn't get the proper nutrition, and also it affects the mind. Indigestion of the body will also affect ultimately the mind because it affects the subtle energies in the body, how they're created, and then being affected the mind, it also affects our future habits and our future activities. Generally, if you're becoming healthier, if you're doing healthy things, you become healthier. If you're doing unhealthy things, you become sicker. And healthy things means that which balances the body, and unhealthy things means that which is going to create imbalance within the body or the mind. And of course, our major activity is not only food, or our major activities, it's also our consciousness. But we can start with food because we're not so much aware of our consciousness. Just like a vata person, for instance, they're going to be tendency to be very irregular. But if you just tell a vata person, be regular, they can do that regularly for a day or two. And then because of the irregularity, they immediately become irregular again. So trying to become regular, regulated for them is rather difficult, but that's what they need to balance their lack of regulation. Similarly, a pitta person, their tendency is to become, always be intense. I'm pitta, by the way. Always be intense. Whatever they're into, they're like, rawr, you know, they're just focused in on, and everyone around them is like, you know, wow, this guy's intense. And then a kapha person, his tendency is like, you know, live and let live, and it's hard for them to get motivated to do anything. The two vata persons get together, they just talk and talk and talk, and they don't even know what the other person's talking about. It doesn't really matter. They just keep on talking. And they're both satisfied that they're getting an opportunity to talk. It doesn't matter what they're saying. And if two kapha people get together, they won't say anything. And they're just both satisfied. And if two people, pitta persons, get together, there's, you know, immediately there's a competition going on. Who has the most witty and intelligent thing to say? Who's going to win? Therefore, you know, balance, the whole thing is balance. And but we'll start with food, because that's one of the first things that cause our imbalance, besides our consciousness, which will also affect what we eat. But we'll look at food first.